Well, we're going to be reading from several selections from Proverbs 1, 2, and 3. So there's an insert in your bulletin if you'd like to look at that, or of course look at the Bible there in your pew rack. So Proverbs, as you may know, is filled with a lot of contrasts and comparisons, and it's a nature of Hebrew poetry to do this. And also to repeat things, using lots of different words to seem very repetitive in explaining maybe one aspect in a bigger light. So what Solomon would be doing here is holding up the word wisdom and holding it up to the light and kind of turning it to different angles and letting it be seen for what it is as a treasure. That would be sought like silver, like gold, something beautiful and marvelous. And so these passages that I selected are really for Father's Day, where Solomon is focusing on my son. He says that over and over again, my son. These letters, as it were, to his children. And that phrase, my son, is saying something, saying that I am taking up this opportunity to teach, to offer, to give, to present something. You came from me. You're my children. You live with me. You're part of me. I have a vested interest in your future. And so I want to remind the fathers, remember who you are as a father, and that who you are is much more important than what you do. What you do comes out of who you are, what you've been given, and what you have then to give. So Solomon gives here to his sons, to his children, these promises and these warnings. So from Proverbs chapter 1 and following. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. May God bless the reading, hearing, and teaching of this, his holy word. I recently went backpacking with my son, and I'm really glad that I asked him to bring a picture of this knot, okay, of a knot, and the step-by-step instructions for how to tie the knot, because he wanted to bring his hammock, and we were going to, of course, find two trees and tie the hammock up. Well, you need to learn how to tie, you need to know how to tie more than just a granny knot to hold up a hammock between two trees. And I must have looked at that picture and wrestled with those two ends of that rope 25 times each side of the hammock. Okay, looking again. Now, which way does that top rope go? Now, let me see that picture again. Now, read to me the instructions again, Ethan, because I could not get it. I just had to do it over and over and over again. Has that ever happened to you on something like a lesson that you think you've learned one time? And you think, well, I've learned it one time. I should be able to do it every single time in the future. Doesn't work that way. So one reason Solomon uses this kind of repetitive language, yes, it's Hebrew poetry, and that's the nature of Hebrew poetry, but he's also repeating. He's massaging these words into the hearts of his children. He's giving them ways to understand a principle from all kinds of different angles so that you learn it, and then you learn it again, and then you look at it again, and you repeat it, and you learn it, and you keep learning it. He's just devoted to this. Thorough, complete, persistent, just overwhelm his children with his truth. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words, treasure up my commandments. Fatherhood is about offering. And in a sense, being assertive, aggressive, in the best sense of that word. He's taking the opportunity given him. He's training up warriors. Okay. So he's giving a taste for them, a taste of something good, a taste that is offered, and hopefully his children will take him up on it. And see also here, I mean, this is just a few selected verses from the first three chapters of the prologue. So Proverbs 1 through 9 are more and more of the same, okay, and the different aspects of promises and warnings. Big picture-wise, fatherhood is about the big stuff, okay? The big rocks first. This is what Solomon's doing. Principles, overarching truths, the big picture stuff. Some men, some fathers are stunted because in their own lives, the big rocks were not there or were not very big. Okay? So many fathers, me included, need to know, need to receive, need to believe and take in, absorb, and just soak in the truth of God's love. Of God's love, of God's kindness. His father love. He is yours. And you are his. He's taking responsibility for you. And your only hope is him. These words are, yes, from Solomon, but bigger than that, higher than that, they are from our Heavenly Father to us, his children. So he is pleading. Take it for what it is. God is pleading with us, his pleading father sense to give us his intimacy, to gently allure us in with his strength, with his firmness even. These three big rocks that we're going to look at, okay? These big picture qualities of fatherhood outlined there in your bulletin. First, a father is a dependent child. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 1. Solomon, son of David. Yes, he's king, but first He's a son. A father is first a dependent child. A son himself who is dependent upon his father in heaven. Now, some dads are like 12-year-olds forever. Okay, and it's good to be fun-loving and goofy with your kids and show them that you can have a good time and enjoy being silly. I mean, I kind of enjoy embarrassing my kids. I kind of, you know, secretly laugh at that, even as they're now even eye-rolling, you know. But Solomon himself is a dependent child, okay? Not childish, not just living in the moment, okay? He's thinking of the future. He's paying it forward. And Solomon is then offering up what he received from his father, right? And not just David, but his father in heaven. So that he gives his children these repetitive words of wisdom. Chief among them are, did you catch it? Did you hear it three times in these verses? The fear of the Lord. Okay. It's repeated all throughout Proverbs and all throughout this prologue, especially and in these verses. The fear of the Lord is what has to come first. That's what's in the beginning of seeking and hearing and receiving wisdom. Okay. Now, to fear the Lord is to revere the Lord. Because fear of the Lord is kind of an off-putting phrase. It's not so much something that we go around and talk about. It's not something that we say. It's not something that we even tell each other. Like, now you go and fear the Lord now. What? Partly because it's hard to translate into English. Okay? And partly because it's hard to get our hearts tuned to that word fear. There is a tiny bit of a sense of being afraid of, but way bigger than that is the sense of reverence and awe at something majestic and beautiful beyond description. Okay. So that you long to be explained what it is and hear it and receive it. Okay, I long to fear the Lord. What does that mean, Dad? I don't get it. Okay, so Solomon says, in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, this is a great description of fear of the Lord. Let's look. It means trust. It means lean in. Okay. It means regard, that I regard the Lord and His word higher than anything else. Okay. Paying attention to, and something that I want. Okay, a fear of the Lord is something that I want because God has proven that He is good and He does good. Okay. And so my soul, it rests in Him. It rests in this fear. He's made me His child. And I want the same for you, my son, my daughter. It has to begin at the heart level, the deep-rooted heart level, the level of motivation. Why you do what you do. I do what I do because I fear the Lord. At least that's what I long for. I myself am a child. I myself am a son. I have a father who sees me, who loves me, who cares for me, who protects me, provides for me. And He is able infinitely more to do that for me and for you, then I am able to do it for you as your earthly father. And I want to honor Him. I want to respect Him. I want to lean into Him, trust Him, listen to Him. So you tell your children, this isn't me doing all this father stuff. It's God in me and through me. I need God just as much as you do, son and daughter. Okay. Really, I need Him more because I have a higher responsibility as your parent. I remember hearing when I was going to become a father. And then I found out I was going to have a son. And I had grown up with five sisters and no brothers. And it was just me and my dad. Wow. I bought so many Matchbox cars that year. And my mom, she went and found my old Matchbox cars and sent them to me that she had collected and kept for me, you know. And I was academic. And I couldn't ask my dad because he had died. And so I read a bunch of books, you know, on how to be a dad, how to be a dad of a baby, how to be a dad of a preschooler or a toddler and all this. And so then I knew, right? I knew everything. Oh. Dads, stay a child, right? Stay dependent. Stay reliant on the Lord so that you're asking for help from the one who really can help you. Okay. It takes the pressure off of having to be a great Hallmark card dad. Okay. And it takes the pressure off of being either too controlling or too permissive, because you're constantly seeking the Lord. Lord, I need wisdom about this particular parenting situation. Yeah. Give me wisdom. Well, how can I do this? This sounds like a whole lot of responsibility. Okay. Well, it is. But watch out for Americanized, individualistic idolatry of the self-made dad. That's a good path towards isolation and towards failure. Okay? Doing it all on your own. We're a covenant community. We're in this together. We need help from each other. And look at what Solomon says right off the bat. A father is a team leader. Okay, look at chapter 1, verse 8. Yes, listen to your father and your mother. Forsake not your mother. Okay. Solomon right off brings up respect for his mother. Okay. Dads are team leaders. Okay. Yes, the dad is the head coach. Okay. But with his wife, they are in it together. Okay. Loving your mother, respecting her, honoring her, listening to her. Is the same as listening to me as your father. We're on a team. We're in a family. We're not a bunch of individuals who happen to live in cubicles in this house. Okay? We're all on the same journey together. Okay? Yes, the father is the leader. Okay? But he is a team leader, leading a unit. And wives, by the way, this is great power that you have. As a mother and as a wife, with your husband, where can you find those things in your husband's fathering that he is really good at? And how can you encourage those things, fan those things into flame, instead of focusing narrowly on his negatives? Bring to life more and more the positives, and the negatives will diminish. Okay? They will. So as a dependent child and as a team leader, what does a father do? Okay. He serves with loving sacrifice as a benevolent servant king. So this is the third and final point, but it's the meat of where we're going. Solomon, of course, is writing as a king. As a servant king, eager to give what he has been given. This wisdom is not just for him and for him expanding his borders and expanding his own personal kingdom. No, it's for sacrificially loving, serving, equipping, and enabling the future. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have it at all in the Bible. And you fathers. If you fathers could see what power you have. See what power you have for good. you have within you gifts that have been given to you that you are passing on. Who you are is coming down into your children's lives. And let that be gift for you and for them. This is where your power is found. You're receiving all that you've received from your Heavenly Father, and you're giving it up sacrificially to your children. If you could just take up what you have been given, be who you are in Christ. Men, don't you remember what you used to be and what you would be apart from Christ? You would be dead. You would be orphans. You would have nothing to give except brokenness and just continue that cycle of terribleness in the generations. See? But now you are alive with new hearts, and the Holy Spirit lives within you to be able to supernaturally enable you to impart wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Then you can do what Solomon is doing. Plead. Plead with your children. Please take this in. Please hear. Please listen. Appealing to their conscience. See? Appealing to their motivations. That's what King Solomon is doing. So, for example, son, I know you think that multiple hours of looking at a screen is what is going to give you life. Okay. But I really do have something better for you, and it's only going to take 10 minutes. 10 minutes of sitting down at family devotions and prayer, looking at the Word of God together, taking it in, tuning our hearts to hearing from Him, listening from Him. And it's called the fear of the Lord. Dad, why have I never heard of that video game? Because it's not a video game. Okay. But it's greater than that. It's glorious and beautiful and wonderful. And God intends to give you great success. Let's take Him up on it. So look at the promises that you are giving your children. All right, just one of them. Chapter 1, verse 9. A graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. These are physical symbols of honor and life, okay. Victory and vindication, okay. Power, prestige, high status. Okay, so it would be ancient Rome. In sporting contests, they would give the victors these beautiful garlands, okay. That would have a ceremony, place it upon their head, place a medal around their neck. We still have it in the modern Olympics, right? It's something that is showing off in the best way what has been given honor and delight, okay? A crown. These are physical items pointing to the spiritual reality of victory and protection that we have under God. Take that up. See, take that in. Rejoice in that. Okay. The appeal here is to those of us who are fathers. We want our children to find glory and success, honor, favor. I mean, just go to a little league baseball game in your neighborhood and listen to the dads cajoling and encouraging and coaching their sons. Stay in the batter's box. Don't turn away from the ball. Look at the pitcher in the eye. Watch the ball. Pay attention. Listen to the coach. Stop playing in the dirt between second and third base. You know? Why? Because the dads want their kids to have success. See? Really, what Solomon is getting at, big picture, is the promise that comes from listening. Okay? There is such good for you if you will lean in, if you will take it in, if you will receive, if you'll tune your heart to hear from God's word. and tune your own channel, you know, off. Lower the volume of your own noise and the noise of the world. Okay, which leads to chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Okay. A father, because he loves his children, takes up the hard calling of disciplining his children. Okay. Done in love, with patience, with carefulness and consistency, it promises to produce good fruit. And fathers are like God in this. God does the same with his children. That's verse 12. Okay. In whom he delights. See, God disciplines those in whom he delights in. Because I delight in you, son and daughter, I'm not going to let you go your own way. That's the easiest thing in the world, by the way, of parenting. Let your children just go their own way. Okay. But that means, it says it later in Proverbs, you hate your children. You hate them if you let them go their own way. But there is danger ahead. And that's why I'm going to give you all these word pictures. Solomon's doing this. So that you can take in the warnings. Okay? There's promises and there's warnings. Okay, a couple of specific ones. Look at chapter 1, verse 10. Okay? And 15 and 16. If they entice you, don't. Solomon is very realistic. Resist the gang, which means peer pressure is a reality. Okay? It's going to happen to you. I cannot protect you as your father from everything. And here's what they're going to talk about if you read the rest of it, verses 11 through 14. And here's what they're going to present to you, a get-rich-quick scheme, which sounds really good. And here's why it's going to be appealing and enticing and tempting for you, because they are your peers. They're your age, your stage of life, your generation. Okay. And they say, let's do this together. They already think that you're with them. It's strong. Watch out. If everyone is doing it, then push pause, you know, just for a minute and take a look at it. Okay. Their wisdom is worldly wisdom. It sounds good at first. But it is based on a fearlessness because there's no regard for God as judge. There's no acknowledgement of a God who sees everything. So, of course, if there's no God, then you can do whatever you want. I want you to succeed, my son. I want you to succeed, my daughter. I want you to find life. So I'm telling you like it is out there. Outside of my protective covering. Fear the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 10, there's the account of the queen of the south, who from a long way away from Israel has heard rumors of this great wise king and all his wisdom and all his sayings. And so she brings boo-koodles of gifts, spices and camels and animals of all kinds, and just to go sit at the feet of Solomon and listen to his wisdom. And she says, wow, it was greater than it was even rumored to be, your wisdom. In Luke 11, Jesus says, behold, something greater than Solomon is here. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that he himself is wisdom. That he is wisdom incarnate. And if you seek him, you will find him. If you seek him like a treasure, like hidden silver, like hidden gold, you will find him, and you will find wisdom. You will find success and peace and rest and joy, no matter what your circumstances are. Every father longs for those things for his children. I want you, I'm desperate for you to find them. They are found in Christ alone. Because what else is found in Christ alone? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is found in Christ alone. This is a hard sermon. Every sermon is hard, but this is a hard sermon for me to preach because I'm really good at rehearsing my failures. And parenting, whew, plenty of failures. But we find our strength renewed and our listening empowered by the shocking scandal of the grace that Jesus has bought for us. Jesus has earned our forgiveness, and he gives it to us as a free gift. That grace is what forgives all of my failures, all of your failures. And that might just be what your children need to see and hear most of all. Your failures. Your failures might just be what your children need to know about you more than anything. As long as you're taking your failures to the foot of the cross. As the cross is bigger and bigger in your life, as you see your need for the cross more and more, and as you take your children there with you, you're repenting in front of them. You're telling them that you need Jesus just as much as they do. See? Then guess what happens to their ears? They're able to listen more to the things that you say, to the wisdom that you give. Because a cynical person could hear all of Solomon's wisdom and read all of Proverbs and remark, oh yeah, yeah, and Solomon is the guy that didn't even take in his own wisdom, didn't even listen to the things that he wrote down, because he went and married something like 1,000 women, and his heart was changed, was turned, he went apostasy. He turned away from God and turned to all the other gods of the nations, and idolatry and terrible things that he did. He ended up going with the crowd and saw his own heart go astray from the Lord. He is the ultimate example of that lie. Do as I say, not as I do. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to your children, to your church, to the Lord. Take up the promise of forgiveness that Jesus has earned for you and model that above everything else. For that is wisdom that will last, that will have fruit for today and last into eternity. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, thank you for your mighty wisdom. Give us ears to hear, hearts willing to seek it, find it in the Lord Jesus, receive again from the Lord Jesus your perfect wisdom and the great wisdom of forgiveness through your blood and righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for making us all sons and daughters of the King. Impart your wisdom to us that we might impart it to one another, especially to our children. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.